Morning Watch, Crystallization Study of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, Week 5. Ezra, a priestly scribe, and the need for Ezras, those skilled in the Word of God. Friday, related verses. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. 2 Timothy 3:17. That the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. 1 Timothy 4:6. If you lay these things before the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, being nourished with the words of the faith and of the good teaching which you have closely followed. 2 Timothy 2, 1-2, 15. You therefore, my child, be empowered in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me through many witnesses, these commit to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, an unashamed workman, cutting straight word of the truth. Related reading. If we have the proper and adequate spiritual experience, we will realize that in 2 Timothy 3:16, teaching equals revelation. Teaching is actually nothing less than a divine revelation. As you are teaching the young people in your class in the summer school of truth, you must present a revelation to them. A revelation is the opening of a veil. As you are teaching the young people, you should be taking away a veil so that they may see something of the triune God. A certain matter may be hidden from you, but by your teaching, you should gradually open the veil. This is teaching. As they are listening to you, the veil should be rolled away little by little. To teach is to roll away the veil. Now we can see that for the Bible to be profitable for teaching means that it is profitable for unveiling, for rolling away the veil. Time after time and in session after session, you need to gradually roll away the veil. If you do this, your way of teaching will be an unveiling. This kind of teaching always presents a revelation to others. Those who are under such teaching will be able to see something concerning the triune God. When you speak something in the church meeting, your speaking should be the rolling away of the veil. This means that your speaking should present a revelation. It is significant that in 2 Timothy 3:16, teaching is followed by conviction or reproof. No one can see something of God without being convicted by what he sees. Whenever we see something of God, we realize our mistakes, wrongdoings, shortcomings, and sins. The result is that we are convicted. We are rebuked. When in our reading of the scriptures, we receive a revelation, the revelation will convict us and rebuke us. Teaching or revelation brings us conviction, and conviction produces correction. Correction is a matter of setting right what is wrong, turning someone to the right way, and restoring to an upright state. after we have been corrected, we will receive the proper instruction, the instruction in righteousness. Whereas Paul here does not use any modifiers for teaching, conviction, and correction, he does use a modifier for instruction and speaks of the instruction in righteousness. Righteousness is a matter of being right. Hence, the instruction here is for us to be right. The reason we are convicted and rebuked is that we are wrong in many different ways and aspects. We may be wrong with God, with Christ, and with the Spirit. We may be wrong with the church, with the brothers and sisters, with our husband or wife, with our parents, with our children, with our neighbors, and even with ourselves. We may be wrong in the way we spend our money, in the way we spend our time, in the way we dress, or in the way we style our hair. Because we may be wrong in so many different things, we are rebuked by the revelation we receive when we read the scriptures. In verse 17, Paul goes on to say, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. A man of God is a God-man, one who partakes of God's life and nature, thus being one with God in his life and nature, and thereby expressing him. Such a God-man, such a man of God, is produced by God's breathing out of himself. God's breathing produces God-men